Amen, amen. All right, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians with me this morning, please. Chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. If you've read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you know that the church at Corinth had a lot of problems. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, that word charity is agape. That's the base word, the noun. Agapao is the verb. That is the love of God. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Father, bless this holy book now. And thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That you gave this old boy another opportunity to stand up here and preach it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You've been good to me. 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 In your holy name, amen. If you could get by the holiness of God, and which of course would be a major achievement, you won't. But if you could get by the holiness of God and then come to the mind of God, and that mind of God is the creative act of the Lord. He has a mind which is above our mind. It takes a mind like God to understand God's mind. But let's say you got by that, and let's say you went into the very depths of the soul of Almighty God. The deeper you went, what you'd find is the love of God. The love of God comes forth not from the mind of God and not so much from the glory of God, but from the heart of God. When God speaks of His love to us, He speaks of His heart. If you have a heart this morning, a heart, I'm talking about not the physical organ pumping the blood, but I'm talking about the seat of who you are. If you have a heart today, and we, a lot of people, seem to be zombies that don't have a heart, seem to have no feeling, seem to not be able to respond to anything. But if you do, if you have a heart today, then you have something that is greater than the animals, something greater than cherubim, seraphim, angels, or anything else. That heart is capable, according to the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, to love the love of God. Now digest that for a moment. We're not talking about phileo, we're not talking about eros, all these other Greek words for love. We're talking about agape. We're talking about the love of God. Now think about this for a moment. Why would God ask you to love like God loves? His love is not emotional. There's no emotion attached to it whatsoever. His love is not by choice the fact that He thinks you're pretty. Or there's something about you that, that draws Him to you. No. That's not the love of God. Has nothing to do with it. If you study the Bible and let the Scripture define itself, you'll discover that the love of God is the very nature of the Almighty, for the Bible said God is love, therefore it attaches to His essence. You'll discover that He loves because He loves. He loves because He loves. You say, well, I've heard a lot of messages on love. Yeah, but do you love like this? You see, if you don't, you may be the most dedicated person in the country. You may be willing to go to the stake and let them burn you alive for your faith in Christ Jesus. You may be the greatest intellect that Christianity's ever had. Write volume after volume after volume. I mean, you are an expositor of the Scriptures. You may run an orphanage. You may deal with people's problems and woes and so forth. But if you don't have love, you're nothing. And this is not an easy thing. The kind of stuff I'm preaching this morning, it's not easy. No, no, no. There are a lot of people that you have a hard time loving, right? You have a hard time loving them. Now, I love those near to me, my family and all that, yes. And a lot of other people I do. But there's an awful lot of people around I have a hard time loving. Don't even want to be around them. And yet the Bible tells me that if I have the love of God in my soul, that's what defines me. It tells me that I can create and do and this and that and be success at all kinds of things, and yet I am an absolute failure if I don't have the love of God dwelling in my soul. The love of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is defined. It breaks it down, gives all kinds of illustrations and comparisons about it. These are all wonderful things because we need to know what that love is like. The love of God, he says in the book of Jeremiah chapter number 31 verse 3. This is a beautiful thing. Jeremiah has a way of saying some things that just absolutely grab your soul. Jeremiah 31 verse number 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Have you noticed this? With an everlasting love, he said, I have loved thee. Loved thee before you were ever born. Loved you before you were conceived. Loved you with the love of God before you ever showed up. And yet he loved you. And when he was in the womb, and when he was, Jeremiah said, I formed thee, God said. I made you what you are. I was with you in the womb. I'm glad for something like that. I'm not an accident. I'm not somebody in the way. I'm not a problem. I'm here because God put me here.
Amen.
Amen. The circumstances I was born into are unusual, yeah. I didn't have the kind of home like you, a lot of you have had, no. But I'll tell you one thing. I know one that came to me. You don't understand that unless he's come to you. I was as big a skeptic and big an agnostic and atheist that ever walked this earth till he came to me. And all of that was done away with in just a split second. He says in verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness, that's the Old Testament word for mercy and grace. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Cords of love, he said, I drew you. Look at Hosea chapter number 11 and verse number 4. You see, you can't find God. If you're searching for him today, you'll never find him. If you're looking for him in religion, you're not going to find him. If you're looking for him in philosophy, you're not going to find him. If you look for God in so-called science, you'll never find him. Well, how do I find him? You'll never find him. He's got to draw you. In the book of Hosea chapter 11 and verse 4, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. In other words, he set you free. He took that binding, that harness away from you, and there you knew him. Now, folks, I don't want to be mean. I don't believe in that. I believe in preaching the Bible, and I know how I grew up. I was 27 years old when I met God. And until that time, I was just as much a skeptic as some of you in this house are this morning. No, God, if there's a man upstairs, you know, he doesn't care about anything. Look how I'm growing up. I got nothing. That's my attitude. I'll make my own way. So I joined the Marine Corps and made my own way. I did my thing until 27 years of age in 1973. And somebody came to me that literally stopped me in my tracks. He drew me. He drew me.
Amen.
He drew me. I'm not great. I'm not special. There's nothing wonderful about me, but he came to me. Has he ever come to you?
Amen.
This is first base. Has he ever come to you? Have you ever had an encounter? I'm not even talking about being saved, just an encounter with God. Something that you couldn't put your finger on. Something greater than you. Something that began to move your soul. Have you ever had that happen to you? You ever had something happen to you that you knew that, wait a minute, I didn't read about this in a book.
Amen.
Hold on a minute. You mean there really is a spirit world there? You better believe there is.
Yes,
why do you think we're in here today? Why do you think I'm up here preaching to you? Listen, I was born in bank robbers and bootleggers. That's where I came from, not preachers. And yet I'm up here preaching to you this morning because God drew me. He drew me. He drew me, folks. You can call me a liar if you want to. Or you can listen to what I have to say. With loving kindness, he drew me. And when he got a hold of me, he had to reach low to get me. He reached way, way down. He reached further down than a man could reach. And he took hold of me, and he drew me. Thanks be unto God. I'll forever be in his debt. He drew me. He drew me. Have you thanked him? The Bible says in the book of Colossians 1, when we were enemies in our mind. What's your question? This is a simple question. Why do you hate God? You say, well, I don't hate God. Why are you indifferent to him? You don't believe there's a God? Enemies in our mind. What's he ever done to you? He's been good. He put that beautiful sun out there today. I had a place to sleep last night. Had breakfast this morning. I've got two hands. I've got two legs. I can walk. I can move. I can speak. My heart's beating. I'm breathing. He's been good to me. He gave me the ability to work. He gave me a trade. I could do all. I did everything in the world for years. But this is the most important thing I ever did. Is preach his word. He's been good to me. Have you thanked him for it? Have you really thanked God for awakening you? Because that's what happens literally. You know, they call it an epiphany. That's another term for it. It's an awakening. It's when the light begins to flow in. It's when you begin to see things. Wait a minute. Why don't I just shut up and listen for a minute.
Amen.
To the voice of God. God's a good God. The absence of love, he said in verse number 1, is a lot of noise. Verse number 2, he said, you're nothing. And then verse number 3, he said, it doesn't profit you anything if you don't have any love. I got to go home, get on my knees. I got to crawl off in a hole somewhere. I've got to get a hold of the Bible. I've got to lay it out before me. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you this morning, but this applies to me just like you. I've got to find me a place to get off and say, Lord, I know what you're saying is true, but this ain't easy. This is hard. This is hard stuff. You know something? This is the foundation. You can't build on anything else if you don't have this foundation. This is the foundation. And if you get this foundation right, your relationship with each other will blossom and there'll be power in here.
Amen.
There'll be power. There'll be power. But you got to get this right. So what is the love of God? The Bible said, he that spared not his own son. In the book of Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 32, it means it's sacrificial. From the very beginning, God shows you he's a giver. This is what all Christmas is about. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave sacrifice. For this cause, he said, came I into this world, the Lord Jesus, a sacrificial love. Then it is an indiscriminate love. What does that mean? That means it doesn't make any difference. Red, yellow, black, and white, rich, poor, bond, free, it doesn't make any difference. Doesn't matter if you're Chinese, Japanese, if you're Portuguese, if you're Norwegian, it doesn't make any difference to God. It's indiscriminate love. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You mean yes, it is. Whoever and wherever, whosoever will. It's indiscriminate. The leper, the purest picture of sin in the Bible. It is. You literally rot away. You rot away. One of the greatest men I ever knew, Tommy Tillman, just left us, went on to be with the Lord. Tommy Tillman used to sleep under the bridge with the lepers. He learned their language in Taiwan, in Thailand. He learned their language. He dedicated his life to them. He lived with them. Tommy Tillman came in here and he showed us photographs of the lepers. He talked about their conversion experiences. He talked about a lot of these were wonderful people, but they still died with leprosy. God allowed it. I don't know if he healed any. I haven't gotten that deep into it, but Tommy Tillman inspired me. His son, Mitch Tillman, now is over here in the Gobi Desert doing the same thing his dad did. That's love. That's love. It's hard to a leper. Now think about a leper rotting away before your very eyes. Yet you love him. You love him because there's something inside you greater than you. And you call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, I want that love. Because it's not natural to man. It's got to come from God. So the leper, the murderer on death row. I've seen some of these people who killed some people. I tell you the truth. Honestly, be honest with you today, I'd pull the plug. I would. I'd hang them. Especially when they do things to children. Really? Wouldn't have any trouble at all putting them to death. Yet that Bible says he loves them.
That's right.
Man, that's a tough one there. Well, I don't love them. I'll tell you right now. It's not easy, is it? It's one of those things. Are you listening? Am I getting a hold of you today? I'm getting a hold of myself too. It's not easy. This is not easy. It's easy to strut your stuff.
Yeah.
It's easy to be the chief dog in the bull in the barnyard or whatever it is. But this is hard. The drug addict. You ever seen drug addicts? You ever seen what they do? kind of shape they get in.
Yep.
I wish a drug addict were listening to me right now. I'd like to say to him, you may be so shot full of dope, you may not even be able to understand what I'm saying. You may be lying in your own vomit. You may be living under a bridge somewhere. You may be so filthy, nobody can stink, no one will be around you, but God loves you.
Amen.
God loves you. God loves you. And I mean, he really loves you. He doesn't love you because you're a drug addict. He doesn't love you because he's emotional about it. The love of God is something the rapist, the religionist, all these people, it doesn't make any difference. He doesn't say, I love the murderer, but I don't love the thief. No, all of them. Everybody. And truth is, you know, let's be honest today. Do we have any perfect people in here this morning? We don't. I've got a past. You open my closet, more bones fall out of there, knock you down, the bones in my closet. Amen. I'm so glad, praise God, that he shut that and sealed it. And he wrote my name, the Lamb's Book of Life. The love of God is unconditional love. Romans 8, verse number 35. Unconditional. Look at this one. This is the kind of thing you need to read. And go home and think about it. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Have you noticed here? These are the martyrs. These are the martyrs. These are the ones who gave their life for Christ. You read about him in Hebrews 11. These are the martyrs. Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? What if you lose your mind? What if you turn your back on God? What if you get mad at God and walk out the church door and say, I'll never darken another church in the rest of my life? That doesn't change anything. Doesn't change one thing. You'll have access to the Father because the Father deals with you not through his mind, but through his heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love of God suffers long. How many of you God has forgiven you more than one time for the same sin? Don't raise your hand. If you want to, fine. Have you been forgiven more than one time for the same sin? Did the devil tell you that there's no need in going back again? God's getting tired of fooling with you? Satan's good at it, you know. He's a liar. Liar from the beginning. And do you notice the greatest work of Satan is always your relationship with God. He comes between the two of you. That's what he does. He suffers long. He suffered long with me. He put up with a lot from me. He put up with a lot from me after I got saved. Young, ignorant, stupid, full of zeal, but very little knowledge. An awful lot of preaching like that around. It's taken me a few decades to learn anything. But I have learned some things. I have. If you live your Christian life based on emotion, you're going down.
You're right.
You better live your Christian life with a good mind and a heart warm and sold out to God. The love of God is immutable. That's just a big word, simply means unchanging, solid, steadfast, fixed, like the rocks are in the Bible. It's immutable. You may be up one day, you may walk right out and do the same thing that you asked God to forgive you for, and walk right out and do it again. And the devil said, God's finished with you, he's mad at you, it's over. No, it's not over. It's not over. If that's happened to you, come back to him. He's immutable, unchanging. Aren't you glad? Because I've seen people change. Good night. One day they're your friend, next day you meet them out here in a grocery store somewhere and don't even know you. I knew somebody like that not too long ago. It's been about 30 years ago. That's a few years ago. I swear, when that happened, I thought to myself, what in the world? In here, we were the greatest of friends, and I'm in this restaurant, and she's sitting right over there across from me, and here's my wife, and here's me. And she looked right over at me and just threw that head up in the air like she didn't know who we were. And I thought to myself, good night. What have I done? It's positive toward you. Jeremiah chapter number 29, verse 11 says this. Jeremiah, here we go again. This great prophet. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's his thought toward us. The scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If you had to fight God, you're in trouble. If God's against you, yes, and well, somebody say, well, he is. Well, folks, listen, if the Lord was against you, your heart would not beat one more time. He could take you from this earth. Are you kidding me? No, he's not against you. He's for you. He that spared not his own son offered him up for us, if God be for us. The love of God in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 1. And I'm going to tell you something right now. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Called sons of God. Now, I saw something on YouTube a couple of days ago. And it's one of the most remarkable things I'd ever seen. Here sits a little girl. Okay? This little girl sitting here. She has no home. She has no parents. She has nobody. But somebody had warmed up to her and got to know her. But you could tell in her heart she wasn't trusting anybody. Little kids get hurt. They live in this void. But they gave her a little, some kind of a book or a document or something. She opened it up and she read it. And she broke down like you wouldn't believe, and grabbed those two people. Do you know what the document said? We adopt you. You have become our own. And when she read that, the emotion just exploded from her soul, because somebody was willing to take her now. No more foster homes. No more tossed from one place to the next. Here is a couple that are going to show her love, and they're going to accept her, and she will be their child. Boy, I recommend it. Just Google adopted. And there's all kinds of videos on there of different people being adopted, little kids being adopted. And if you've never been adopted, you've never been through anything like that, you may have some compassion feeling toward it, but you don't know what that girl felt. You don't know what she felt. You don't know. If my grandfather had not taken me into the home, I would have wound up in John Tarleton. How many of you know where that is? I have first cousins. I've got first cousins that went to John Tarleton. I'm not against John Tarleton. Thank God for John Tarleton. That gave them a place to live. But that wasn't a home. That wasn't a mother and a father. You see, I was taken in to the home. Thanks be unto God, man. I'll never forget that. The little girl. The love of God. In 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. 1 Corinthians 13:13. The Apostle Paul says this. 1 Corinthians 13:13. See if I can find it here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse 13. Here we go. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Yeah? That's it. There's nothing greater than charity. There's nothing greater. That's the love of God. In Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 5. And from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. Now watch this. And washed us from our sins in his own blood. You know what that says? It says the blood is a present reality in heaven, that every time someone is born of the Spirit of God, that blood that resides right now in heaven washes them. And there's nothing that'll cleanse you any better than the blood of Christ. Man, what a thing. It means that the blood is still active and real. And there are those who don't believe that. They believe the blood is a metaphor for the life of Christ. But my dear friends, the life of Christ doesn't save you. Are you listening? It is the death on the cross that he became the eternal sacrifice for our sins. That's when the Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. is when he died on the cross. That's where you get saved, by looking at that. Now, who's this to? Who's this message to this morning? It's for you that are without hope. You ever looked into the eyes of somebody without hope? You ever tried to talk to somebody like that? I have. First of all, they don't trust you. They don't trust you. They don't believe what you got to say to them. They become bitter. Become just separated. Why? Because they have no hope. They don't think it'll ever get any better. You may be like that today. Let me tell you something. The heart of God will reach out and take hold of you. And the heart of God will give you a life that you don't even know exists.
Amen.
Listen, life comes from God, not man. And you're not the source of life. Life comes from God. If your life has been upended and torn up and come crashing down, and you're in here this house today and you think to yourself, my goodness, what's the point in getting up tomorrow morning and going on? It's all collapsed around me. He is the source of our life.
Amen.
Turn to Him and hope will come back in your soul. One bound in sin, that's who I'm talking to. You're bound in it. Like I said a few minutes ago, you sin, you get forgiveness for it, thank God. Then you do it again. You do it again. You do it again. You do it again. Well, how do I get victory over it? God, that's how.
Amen.
You don't get victory over sin by resisting it, fighting against it. The only way you can get victory over God is Christ filling your soul.
Amen.
With the Holy Spirit. Spiritual thing. That's where your power comes from. It's loving God, walking with God, fellowshipping with God. And you'll be amazed at how a lot of sins just kind of melt away that had you bound. One rejected. This is who I'm talking to this morning. You've been used, you've been abused, discarded, no trust. You were a pretty young woman. Men came after you, boy. And they used you. Then they abused you. And then they dropped you when they were finished with you. That's what happens to young women. This is why the men who are half men will protect their young women. Are you listening? They'll protect their daughters. They'll protect them. That's an unwritten code. That's what you do. This culture today destroys women. Lesbians are out there feeding on your daughters. Yeah, they are. And I want to get off on all of it. But young lady, maybe you've been there. Maybe you've had a baby. Maybe you had to give up that baby. Lord only knows the things that can happen to a young woman. Let me tell you something. God deals with you from His heart. Amen. From His heart. Amen. He doesn't condone it, but He still deals with you from His heart. One addicted. You talked about him a moment ago. Thank God I've never been addicted to drugs. I could have been. I grew up in the generation, I'm a boomer, born 46. So back then, injection, heroin, all the rest of that, it wasn't as big as it is now. And marijuana is about the biggest thing back in those days. Thank God I wasn't addicted to drugs. But you have been addicted. Maybe you're addicted. Maybe you're addicted now. Maybe you're addicted. And you don't realize what a hell you've fallen into. You don't have any idea what kind of a hell would open up for you. No, you didn't. You didn't realize that. Nobody can. And now you're in it. And it dominates your life. It controls you. It's your master. And you can't break it. You can't get out of it. No, you can't. But He can. You better believe He can. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And what I mean by that is it'll cleanse it from your mind. It'll cleanse it from your heart. It'll break the bonds of sin and make you free. Then there's one searching. Are you in here looking for God? I'm talking to. Are you searching for Him? Where are you looking? You can't find Him. You can't find Him. If you could find Him, that means He is somewhere, and He is not somewhere. He's everywhere. It's called I'm Not Presence. You can't find Him, but He'll find you. He'll find you. Because you can't hide from Him. Are you searching? Well, let me tell you how to search. Open your heart. Open your heart and say, Lord, here I am. give me the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I want the truth, Lord. Is that fellow that was preaching to me this morning, Temple Baptist Church, that Charles Lawson guy, did he preach the truth or not? Take it in your prayer closet. Shut the door. Open your heart to God and ask Him if I preached you the truth or religion. And then finally, you may be like Jonah, and I may be preaching to you this morning. You're running from God. Where are you running to? You think there's somewhere you can run to get away from Him? David said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. Can't run from Him. There's nowhere to go. Don't be foolish. Stop running. Get on your knees and call on His name. And He'll find you. You won't find Him. Father, in Thy name I pray, You'd use the message, Lord, today to help somebody. We've come before You and we're thankful we can come before You. You've been good to me. You've been better to me than I could ever imagine. I know where I came from and I know what You've done for me. I know where I'm going. Father, we've got people in this church that are hurt right now, Lord. They're hurt. They're hurt. They're hurting. We know that. And our Father, we pray for them. We've got people in our church, Lord, who have loved ones with this filthy Chinese plague. And we pray for them. We pray for them right now. In Jesus' name, we've got folks in our church, Lord, that have lost loved ones. They've given up dear loved ones. I pray for them. I pray for, Lord, I pray for them. God, help them. Lord, help them. Comfort that heart. Lord Jesus, we pray. In Your holy name, I pray now, Lord, and for Jesus' sake, I ask it. Your heads are bowed this morning. I want to give you an opportunity. Would you like me to pray for you? Have prayer. Anybody in here, raise your hand and say, preacher, You spoke to me. God bless you back there, and God bless you up here. God bless you over there, and God bless you back there. God bless you there, and God bless you over here. Amen. And back in the back, over here. Hands up all over the place. Hands up everywhere. Father, Lord, I'm not a priest to come between them and You. No way. Don't claim that. No way. That we have a royal priesthood. We all have access to the Father through the Son. But Lord, I can intercede for them. Father, I can intercede for them. I can pray for the power of the Holy Spirit of God to begin to work in their heart, Lord, to help them with these truths that I preached. Write them in their soul. Write them in their heart. Write them in their very being. May it become real to them, Father. This is not something that is man-made and can be controlled by men. This can come only from God. In Jesus' name I pray, and for His sake I ask it. Amen. Amen.